Yes. Listen, if you are asleep right now, we're thankful that you're here, but if you're all warm, snuggled up, nestled in your bed, Santa Claus has already came and gone. You missed out on some banana pudding this morning and the love of God's people. So I just want to say, it's a great Sunday to come to church. So I'm thankful for everybody that got here in the cold, outside, and the icicles. I'm thankful we didn't have any snow or tornadoes. I don't think we had any touchdown here this week. Wherever you're watching, we've seen some crazy stuff happen across the world. But enough about me and my problems, okay? Is that okay? We're thankful to be in the Lord's house. We just had some amazing worship. Thank you to our Vine worship team, right? Can we give them a round of applause, everyone? Thank you. And they don't do it for the applause. They do it for the Lord, I know. And that's why we're here today. We're talking about how to win within and do everything for the Lord. Because what if this year, kind of what we had a little bit of an introduction last week, but what if this year we learned how to win within? What if this year we weren't defined by a failed resolution, a failed goal, or a made goal, a relationship, a new relationship, an old relationship, a new job, an old job, a new house, an old house, or this old house? Whatever it is, what if we weren't defined by those things because we decided to list it instead of love it? What if all of us today, I happen to know someone who can help you there, but what if all of us this year, really, 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 in 2023, weren't defined by the things of this world, weren't defined by something that we can never achieve, weren't defined by our own strength, weren't defined by our own brokenness, but had something more? That's what this series is about. How can we win within? Because the last time I checked, everybody wants to win, right? I mean, who wants to win? Everybody. We all want to win. And you get out. I'm just kidding. We're not Oprah in here. Jesus has something better than what Oprah could give us and all of those gifts. So that's what we're going to be diving into today. So last week we laid a groundwork. We talked about, we're going to be in our anchor verse here in a second, but we laid the groundwork and talked about, hey, what does it look like to give of our time, our talent, our treasure, and our tent? And that's kind of what we're going to be walking through over these next few weeks, because depending on the posture of our heart, depending on what our heart treasures, we'll determine what we give our time, our talent, our tent, and actually our earthly treasure to. So if you've got your Bible, our anchor verse over these next few weeks is going to be found in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. And this is Paul writing this, and he says this: three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Parents, I want to give a time out here. Like when you're in the bathroom and little fingers go under the door, do you plead with the Lord three times just to, no, okay, no, I don't have kids, so I can say that. But anyway, if you're a dog, you got dogs, maybe they try to creep under there, whatever that is. Maybe you're a pet parent, whatever that looks like. But three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. So as Paul is writing this, so many times, many speculate what his weakness was. We don't know what his weakness was. We'll get to find out in heaven one day. Many would say it's a thorn in his flesh. Paul describes it that way as well. But whatever it is, he realizes that he's not defined by his weakness. He is instead defined by Christ, which is his strength, even in his weakness. And that's what we can walk through this year, even in our weakness. So how many folks may love their job? Okay, I see some hands up. How many people hate their boss? It's all right, we'll pray for them later. Oh, hands everywhere. I'm just kidding. I hate my boss too because I look at him in the mirror every morning and I say, dude, I'm just kidding. Jesus is my boss, so I have to love him. We're in church. We can say that, right? But all the way through, like wherever we aren't defined by our weakness. We aren't defined by our screw-ups, our failures, our mishaps, our misgivings. Where we have let God down, we aren't defined by. And so many times the enemy will creep inside, give us a little earworm, and will remind us of where we've screwed up and leave us in victimhood instead of walking in the victory of the Lord. So today, if you're taking notes, we're going to be back in Romans 12. Romans 12. Once again, we're tearing up some Paul today all the way through this series. We're going to be doing that. But what we're going to be learning through today is honor, hope, and hospitality. Honor, hope, and hospitality. Those people who love alliteration love this today. It just rolls off the tongue. You get excited. You really probably wanted me to go hope, honor, and hospitality if you're type A, because then the letters would flow properly and you would go 4 to 5 to however many letters hospitality is. I can't do it off the top of my head. But wherever you are, this is what we're going to walk through today, because this is how we win within. This is how we would win. Wouldn't you love to be saying of your life that you could live in honor and hope and hospitality? Like if this was on an obituary for a person, wouldn't you say that they lived a good life? They lived a great life if they had that? So that's what we're going to be walking through, is how to win within with that. So before we get to Romans 12, how many of us love unexpected rewards or gifts? Hey, everybody, right? We all love that. Hey, how many of us, if you got a letter in the mail from the IRS, it was actually a check back to you? Don't hold your breath. But hold a check back to you. Like they said, we overcharged you. I mean, how many of us would be excited about that? We love that. And so how do you feel about that? When you get that, are you just like, man, this sucks. I got to go to the bank, put this check in the bank. I don't have time for that. This is crazy. Why would the IRS do this to me? Why would that person give me this gift because it's more of a burden? We don't do that, do we? We get excited. Like, we give a hallelujah. We're like the woman who found the lost coin. We're excited. We say, hey, I'm inviting you over. Let's get something to eat. We're going to be really fired up. So now take that energy. Take where we are there. Take what we have and how we feel about that and how we can live with this hope, honor, and hospitality. Paul's about to unpack it. Is that same energy we have there in Christ Jesus, we can have when the bad comes, when the unexpected news comes, when the unexpected doctor note comes, the unexpected diagnosis, the unexpected bill, the unexpected job loss? We should have that same joy, that same energy as we get an unexpected reward. Because what Paul's going to unpack here today is something better. He's going to talk and help us learn through the unexpected reward of Christ. The unexpected reward of Christ. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and let's get back to Romans 12. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we'd love to give you one free for the asking over in our garden area. Our Vine production team's absolutely incredible. Wherever you're watching around the world, somewhere in this general vicinity. This vicinity, there was your kick, everyone who loves that. We'll be up here, all the scripture will be on the screen, but we say it all the time because we mean it. Our Vine app is a hub for you to connect with us and prayer requests, but also you can follow along with us on the message. Go to thevine.tv/app when you download that today. We'll make sure, I promise you, we're not tracking you or anything. We just want to make sure we get the Bible and the gospel in your hands. So if you're with me, give me an amen. I hear some amens. We're ready. Okay. In my excitement today, I almost did it too, to walk through this. If you haven't been hanging out with us on Thursdays, we've kind of had a little bit of a break, but we've been walking through the book of Romans, which is why we're rolling into Romans 12 right now. So in my excitement and my eagerness last week, I did you a disservice. So can you forgive me? Okay, you forgive me. Thank you. And if you don't, it's okay. The Lord will smite the mighty smiter. Here we go. So I want to give us the groundwork of Romans really quickly. If you've ever gone through the book of Romans, it's an amazing book. It's an awesome book that Paul wrote to the Roman church as he's getting excited with that. But if you want to look kind of a ground view of where we are to get to Romans 12, is in Romans 1 through 3, Paul writes about our sin. Who we are, what we are born into. He talks about us, whether we have an excuse for our sin, whether we have an excuse, whether God exists or doesn't exist. He talks about our sin. Then he goes on all the way through, and Romans 4 and 5, he talks about the sacrifice of Jesus. So it goes from our sins and what God did about it and Jesus' sacrifice. Then he goes through Romans 6 through 8, and he talks about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit plays a part in this, who the Holy Spirit is, how it plays out in the life of a Christian. And in Romans 9 through 11, he's talking about the sovereignty of God. So really quick, that's a lot of S's. All the alliteration folks are really excited today. Romans 1 through 3 is about our sin. Romans 4 and 5 is about Jesus' sacrifice. Romans 6 through 8 is about the Spirit, if you will, the Holy Spirit of God and how that plays out. Romans 9 through 11 is about the sovereignty of God, how God is over all. And the shift happens in Romans 12, where he says, now this is how you live it out. in light of everything else. So when we started last week, and therefore in verse 1, the therefore was Romans 1 through 11, right? We looked back. So that is where we are. If you want an overview of where Romans is, this is why we're in Romans 12. It's because Paul is going to help us understand how to win within. In light of knowing our sinful state and the sacrifice of Jesus, and through Christ Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And now that the Holy Spirit is in us, we understand God's sovereign over all in the good and bad seasons all the way through. Now, how do we live it out? And so that's how we're going to walk through this today. So if you've got your Bible, Romans 12, verse 9 says this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So if we want to win within, we want to love with sincerity. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So I was sharing with our Vine Creative team and I think as we had our the folks who always get to all of our sowers who get to lead the welcome, I'm sure Alex got to see this as well, but I almost titled today, Hate, Honor, Hope, and Hospitality. But you see, we can't, the English language, there's no way for me to really say well, comma, hate, comma, hope, comma, or hate, comma, honor, comma, hope, comma, and hospitality. Because it sounds like I'm saying hate honor, hate hope, and hate hospitality. Because in our negative minds and our negative time frames, like our negative setting would say, did he just say I'm supposed to hate all that? You would take that home and the enemy would let you. So instead of that, we didn't talk about hate with that. We are going to address it here in a second because you may be surprised that hate is actually in the Bible. So the first thing Paul says, if we want to learn how to win within when it comes to our heart, the posture of our heart and what we treasure, our first thing must be first. Our love must be sincere. It's not an obligatory love. It's not a giving a gift just so you can receive a gift back. It's not a fake I love you. It's not any of that. Love must be sincere. Love must be so sincere, it's the love of Christ that we reflect. So many of us, so many times, have you ever had, how do you feel if somebody just says they love you and it has nothing behind it? Right? Happy Valentine's, right? Like, you know, it is what it is. That's where that fake love comes. So Paul says, hey, our love must be sincere, so much so it drives us to action because that's what Christ did. Like, our love is so sincere for each other that it drives us to action. Now, let me ask you this. Do you see, I know that when you read the Word of God, there's a period there, as Paul has, but does it say love only certain people? See, this is where I struggle. Maybe you struggle with that too. We all do. Like, Jesus said that he came to fulfill the commandments, but how we live that out is in two things. Really simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second thing that none of us like, but is real, love your neighbor as yourself. So this love that's genuine and it's even for those that we don't get love back from. So if we want to show the love of the Lord, if we want to win this year, this is how we do it. We love those horrible bosses. We love those horrible, horrible people that say nasty things about us. We still love them with the love of the Lord because that's what he did for us. Then he says, hate what is evil. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Why do we hate what is evil? Because it is we shared this on Thursday, so get excited with me. So when we say this, it's literally an assassination on God's character, evil is. It is an attempt to destroy the Lord because he is good. That is who he is. So he abhors evil. Now here's the thing. When I say this right now, hear it all the way through. Don't soundbite this, but here we go. When it comes to hating what is evil, we are supposed to grieve injustice in the world. If we are supposed to plead the cause of the orphan and the widow, but hear me out, not in our strength. Not with our political ideology, not with our solving of the problem, but instead point to Jesus to solve it. If you want to know why our culture is where it is right now, we've forgotten who's already made all things right. Who is the just God? We have forgotten that Jesus has made it all right. And we get a sampling of it on this side of eternity, but we'll get to live in the fullness of it on the other. So this is what I'm saying. When we hate what is evil, if we think that it's only our way to solve the injustice, has nothing to do with us. It's Jesus. And so when we hate what is evil and we grieve injustice in this world, that is why. On the flip side, we're supposed to cling to what is good. Well, we're supposed to celebrate not only what is good in the church, but outside the church as well. We celebrate. We celebrate with everyone. Now, how hard is that? Like, how hard is that for us to do? Because so many times we'll be like, did you see what they said in that movie? I can't believe he listened to that or he watched that, right? Like, but can we not celebrate if something points to Jesus? Hey, what I love how Paul writes his letters all the way through, he says, who am I? As long as the gospel is being preached, I could care less what happens. And I want to tell you, church, that's it. I don't care how the gospel, as long as Jesus is the answer, I'm not here to do anything or point you down or put you down, because we're going to see in this how that works out in the church. But what if the church was known as a sincere love that we went and grieved injustice so much that we pointed to the only one who can fix it, that is Jesus, and we were to cling to what is good? See, last week I talked about this so many times, and I want to make sure I can step on my own toes here. So I'm broken. Anyway, we can go all the way through with that. Last week we shared with this, but when we talk about being in the world but not of the world, when we cling to what is good, I'm not talking about the weird stuff. I'm not talking about the bullhorn on the side of the street. Like I told you, the Lord will hold me accountable. If the Lord has called you to listen to Christian music only, praise God. If that's what gets you in a heart of worship for Him, I'm not here to put that down. And maybe last week I sounded like I was. I'm really not. And the Lord will hold me accountable for the music I listen to. But right now there's a soundtrack playing in my head. Like I have to have music all the time. That is just, that's who the Lord made me to be. Can't sing it worth a lick. There's a blue tick hound that sings it better than I do, I'm sure. But that's just where it is. So you can have all kinds of, you know, you can have all kinds of crazy stuff. You'll have Hello Darling 1 minute from good old Conway. And then all of a sudden you'll have, you know, as gratitude, as a worship song, or miracles. Like you'll have all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on. But here's where the problem becomes with that. If I know those lyrics more than I know the Word of God, that's when it becomes a problem. All right? And so when I say we don't want to be weird, here's the thing. The world doesn't know just as I am. I can sing it to you right now if I did. Like, I could do that. But when I go out into the world, somebody who doesn't have Jesus, that is not open to the Holy Spirit, they don't understand what just as I am is. They're thinking, hey, just as I am, it is what it is. I am who I am. Like, that is what it is. So can't nothing good happen for me, or can't nobody save me? So for us, as we celebrate what is good, this isn't a phony celebration. This is a pointing to Jesus, getting excited celebration. So this is where I push back when I say so many times when we cling to what is good. And I talked about the person at wrestling, because I always encounter it at wrestling or a concert. I know that's crazy, and I probably shouldn't be going to wrestling, but it's okay. It is what it is. Hey, Jacob wrestled with God, okay? Let's just be real. It's okay. Wrestling. And those ladies in Sunday school that are 90 years old will be out there throwing punches. They'll be running and walking. It'll look like a Pentecostal service running in circles around there, that wrestling. I'm just saying, but on Sunday morning, bless their heart. Bless their heart. All the way through, that being said, what frustrates me is when we're in the world, not of the world, and you're standing on a street corner and you're telling me I'm going to hell for this, but you won't have a conversation with me. That's not sincere love. That's not hating what's evil. That's not saying, that is not something, that is not clinging to what is good. When you won't have a conversation with me, I want the gospel to be preached. And if God's called you to do that, I'm not here to beat you up about it. Let you walk in the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're trying to stand up there to make everyone else feel guilty for your own sin, if that's the world you live in. Because I'm just telling you, that's what it is. Your bullhorn ain't getting me to heaven. Jesus is. And so when I say that, what we have to make sure is, to that person, if that's where you are, we are only made righteous through Christ. We are only molded in His image through the Holy Spirit and the next steps that He calls us to take. So if that's where you're stuck right now, and maybe you encounter that person in the love of the Lord, we are not to judge, we are not to condemn. The Lord takes care of all of that for us. I just want you to ask that person what they've done for sex trafficking. What have they done for the orphan and the widow? I'm right here on this corner, praise God. But how many people that were homeless did walk by you that you didn't even point to Jesus? You just told them they were going to hell because of drug addiction. Well, we're all addicted to something. I mean, my waistline says I'm addicted to food. I mean, like, it is what it is. We're all addicted to something. Hey, as a matter of fact, sugar is more addictive than cocaine. I'm just putting it out there. Yet it's readily available, isn't it? So Wherever we are, if the Holy Spirit's working on you, don't worry, he slapped me in the face and stepped on my toes, even the broken ones, all week. So I'm just saying, wherever you are right now, jump in there and understand that none of us have it together. Just because I get to stand up here, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, just like every one of us. Just because the Lord allows me to share his word with you doesn't mean that I got it together. I don't have the answer. If you put your hope in me, you're definitely not going to be able to see love being sincere, hating what is evil, and clinging to what is good. So what I want us all to understand is what we treasure, what our heart treasures, we will freely give of our time, our talent, and our tent. In other words, what we treasure, we will freely give our time to. What we treasure, we will freely give our body to and our tent. And what we treasure, we will freely give our gifts to. Let's go on to verse 10. Spend a ton of time on verse 9. We'll get out of here around 2:30 or 3 today. That'll be time for spur when we're done. Praise God. Amen. Don't worry about it. You don't know where you're going for lunch. You're going to fight for 30 minutes in the parking lot figuring it out. It's okay. That's the Christian way. Romans 12, verse 10 says this: be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is building upon verse 9. So be devoted to one another in love. So our love is genuine. We celebrate each other, and we grieve injustice, but knowing that Jesus is the only answer for injustice. If you were to look at this in the Greek, this be devoted would be all caps. Unlike a text message from me that has 15 exclamations and everybody says, why are you keep screaming at me? It's just who I am. I'm sorry. It's what it is. Be devoted. What does be devoted mean? It means we belong to each other. Your spouse should be devoted to you, right? Like, if you don't have devotion of your spouse, your marriage is probably not doing great. Your relationship isn't doing great. When he says be devoted, church, that means we are devoted to each other. How do we show that? By honoring one another above ourselves. If you were to look at the Vine Code, what do we say? We honor one another to glorify God. That is why we honor one another above ourselves. If you want your marriage to win, this is your verse for 2023. Devoted to one another in love, honor your spouse above yourself. And I promise you, your marriage will be great. It will be absolutely great when you do that. I know after my fifth marriage, I decided that I was looking for love in all the wrong places, if you will. It was what it was. Really, this is the definition of a marriage, because Jesus is devoted to us in love, and he honored us above himself. So for each and every one of us, when we say that, church, I'm not great at this, and I want us to be great at this, all right? We celebrate and build each other up in the church. I got some more on this in a second, but in the church. Because when we do that, we show the world that there is the love of Christ available to them. However, when we tear each other down as Christians, we diminish someone seeing the love of Christ. It's not up to us to be the salvation of others. That's why you will hear me, hey, privately, we can have conversations, but I'm not going to stand up here and put the church down. I'm just not going to do it. It's not my job to do it. I'm not the one that's held accountable for the local church around the world. I'm held accountable, and I'll have to give an account for how I stewarded you and pointed you to Jesus. That's what I will be given an account for. But on the back end, when we get more excited about a podcast, more excited about a documentary about the fall of a church, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, but it is. That's the culture. And so how does that build up the body of Christ? And I mean, I understand, like, it is our nature, but, like, I can't get into that because, you know, when we have those conversations, just had one of those recently, didn't we? Had those conversations about those. I just want to say the folks that are doing that, they aren't trying to build the body of Christ up either. They're trying to build themselves up. They're that person on the street corner with a bullhorn talking about, now, should the church be held accountable? Yes, but we have a system for that. We take care of that together. We don't go out to the world and just bash everyone, because once again, here's the thing. If you're looking for a perfect church, you ain't going to find it here, because I'm a part of it. The rest of you are perfect all day long, but I know I'm not. And I don't know what perfect church you're going to find this side of eternity, but I will tell you, in Christ Jesus, when he's defined by it, it is perfect, and we get to see it fully perfected on the other side of eternity when we're with him forever. And so for us, wherever we are, we can't tear each other down. I'm not excited when I see downfalls of churches. I'm not excited when I see downfalls of pastors, even pastors who have wronged me. I'm not excited about that. I don't get giddy about that, because I grieve that, because the world sees that And the world doesn't see the love of Jesus when Christians tear them down. You know what the world would see, though, when we come alongside each other and pick each other up? Man, that's a good Samaritan right there. What are they doing? That I want some of that. And so wherever you are right now, maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. And I'm going to step on some broken toes right now. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Come on in. We all have. We all have. Why? Because we all need Jesus. We're all going to mess up. Man, I will tell you, I don't hold these up really well. Jesus is working in me, making me who he created me to be. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to upset you. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to do all of those things. Like, the church is full of that. And I just want to say, I don't want to diminish abuse. I don't want to diminish what you walk through. But if Jesus is who he says he is, and we walk through it, there's a purpose in it. And we get to show the world that. Do I want you to be hurt or harmed? Absolutely not. But here's the thing. If you're counting on me for your safety and security, you're screwed anyway. Because I can't give it to you. But I know who can. And that's Jesus. So wherever you are, maybe, hey, this year, I just want to say, maybe you've stepped away from the church. Maybe you've just been hurt so much, you say, I can't be a part of a church. I can't do this. I'm good on my own. And I just want to say, I'm thankful that Jesus wasn't just good on his own. And he picked 12 imperfect people, even the ones that would betray him. And on his way to the cross, he still broke bread with them. He still made a space for you and me. And so wherever you are right now, I just want to say we belong together. The church belongs together. Step into a local church. That's why we say, hey, different strokes for different folks. We may not be the right answer for you, but we want to get you there because the local church is the hope of the world. Maybe this year how you win is stepping back in the local church, bringing all your hurt, all your failures, all the misgivings, all the things that have been done wrong to you, and you lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't know what to do with it, but you can. But I'm going to be a part of your body because the thing that you give is nothing like what this world can give. It is the only hope this world has. So for each and every one of us, once again, what you treasure, you will freely give of your time, talent, and intent. You still with me? Nobody's throwing anything at me. No tomatoes yet. It's all right. I can't move really well, so you could easily hit me right now. It is what it is. So wherever we are, Romans 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When we hear zeal, we get excited. Especially, you know why? Because we think of Jesus in the temple, don't we? The zeal, just flipping over tables. The zeal of the Lord was upon him. We get excited about that, you know? It's a table, ladders, and chairs match. It's wrestling for you. Whatever. All the way through, he got excited. We get excited for the zeal of the Lord. And so many times we'll say, that's why I'm on that street corner telling people they're going to hell. But that's completely different. Completely different. The zeal of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord. This means that there's a passion there. And I just want to say, passion for passion's sake is a cult. If we don't have a reason for our passion, it doesn't matter. So the zeal we have of the Lord now makes us serve, keep our spiritual fervor. And I don't know where you are. So many times, it's just really hard to have passion in a terrible situation, isn't it? Specifically, maybe a bad relationship or work. Sometimes work can just be a bad situation. And I don't want that for anybody. But at the same time, I know the Lord is working it out if we trust that, right? Because at just the right time, he works it out every time. Because it's just the right time, that's his time. You see, so many times for us, how we can win within and show Jesus to the world is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. If you remember, it's another letter Paul writes to the Colossian church. He says what? We work as unto who? The Lord, not man. Why? Because we know our inheritance is in heaven. So in other words, stop working for your inheritance on this side of eternity, knowing that the fullness of it's on the other side. So we work unto the Lord. So that can keep our passion up. So does that mean that I want you to be burned out in church? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we want to be there? Well, many times when we get stuck in our passion, is this because we're the fuel for our passion? I know that's for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to get it together. 17 Red Bulls and 3 heart attacks later, I get rocking and rolling, right? As I get older, those Red Bulls just hit different. My God, I don't know what in the world is going on. Even the sugar-free, I'm just like, you know, I'm just ready to go run through a wall. It's crazy. It's great. I'm not going to lie to you. But all the way through, as you get there, though, if it's your passion, it fails. Because what happens after that? The crash. And as you get older, the crash happens faster. I mean, it's like zombie crash. Like, you're just like, like 5 minutes later, it doesn't work, right? You're Frankenstein. But here's what I'm getting at. Maybe your passion's fading this year. And how you can win within is have passion again. Be the zeal of the Lord. You know what fuels your passion? Taking the little you have and giving it to the Lord. Then he takes it. He breaks it. He blesses it. And it multiplies. You want to have passion? It's seeing the little you have that the Lord takes and breaks. Don't miss this. Breaks that little toe he breaks that he's securing and some of our feet or bone spurs is, whatever that is. The brokenness of that little bitty bit. And he blesses it. And it multiplies. You want your passion fueled? I'll tell you the thing that will make you more passionate than ever before is seeing your little bless somebody else. When you're part of them being blessed through the Lord, man, that gets you fired up. Like, you're like, yes, Jesus is alive. We're ready. And then you get your power bill in the mail. It's like, $8,000. What in the world? Like, you get excited. All right, Lord. Like, you get there. So this is what I'm trying to get at. Maybe this year your passion is waning. Your zeal is waning. You're trying to figure out how to win. Stop relying on you. Lean into the Lord. And take your little, because it's just enough. That's why here at the Vine, you always hear us celebrate what we've sown into global missions. It's not something that we want you to give. It's not something that we have a percentage to give. It's because, you know what the level playing field is in the church? All of us have different talents. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different amounts of time. But when it comes to treasure, whether you give a penny or $7 million, it matters not. It is what God has called you to give, and that is what you get to sow. So all of us can be a part of others being blessed. That's why we celebrate that. It should make us passionate. It shouldn't just be another number we share. It should be like, man, we got to be a part of that. This little bit, because here's the thing. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish that he broke and multiplied, that's all that little boy said is, hey, Peter roughed him up, got it. Because I know I'm like Peter. Listen, there ain't nobody got nothing to eat. They're angry. Look, they're hangry right now. Lord, what are we going to do? And this little boy, please, sir. Like, he gets there, Peter just drops him, gets the 5 loaves and 2 fish, goes to the Lord, and says, here's the little bit we have, Lord. He says, all right, hey, Peter, when they go back all the way through, think about it. He says, cast them nets off to the other side. Peter's like, all I got is these little net. I don't know what to do. He said, hey, throw it over to that side. Trust him, overflowing. The little you have is just enough in the Lord. So what if this year your passion is waning and you want to get fired up in the Lord, have the zeal of the Lord again, be a part of what he is doing, give the little you have. That's why I say the local church is the hope of the world as the body of Christ. So what you treasure, you will freely give of your time, your talent, and your tent. Verse 12, moving along. If there's anything I wish could be on if there's anything that could be said in my life, I do not win at this 100%, but I would love this. Like, we could spend years talking about this, but this is what I would love to be said of me in the end. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction. There must be something lost in translation there. Patient in affliction? Patient in affliction. And faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope. Joyful in hope. What does that mean? When we're joyful in hope, our hope isn't in our situation, isn't in our circumstance. Our hope is anchored in Christ because he alone is our hope. So therefore, we can have joy in all seasons. Paul is writing many of these letters to the early church in jail. In jail, y'all. And I'm not talking jail like we have here, like 3 hots and a cot. I'm talking about he is literally in the sewer system of Rome most of the time when he is there. Like, just imagine that. Yep, that's boo-boo. Like, running all the way through. And he was like, let me write the Romans. Let me write the church in Ephesus. Let me write this down. He's giving joy to the Lord. Like, think about that. Right now, praise God for those who are in our Vine Kids. There's a boo-boo diaper right now. Back there, I would not be saying, hallelujah. Like, I'd just be like, get here. Stop running. Stop running. It's going down your leg. Like, stop. Stop. You know what? Fine. Do it. Do it. Fine. Do it. No, that's it. I'm going to eat your snack right now. Like, all the way through, I couldn't do that. But Paul is saying, I'm joyful in the hope of the Lord. I can have joy in the midst of this. Think about that. Peter in jail, when the earthquake came and it opens the doors, it's because they were praising the Lord. They were joyful in hope. If we want to win, we got to be joyful. Not our joy. It only comes from Jesus. Patient in affliction. We don't like this one either. They always say you don't pray for one thing, what? Patience, right? When in the end, people say that, but in the end, it's going to happen in God's time no matter what you pray anyway. I mean, no matter how stubborn or hard-headed I've been, the Lord, he just, if he has to Macho Man Randy Savage me, he's just going to drop me into where I need to be by his grace. He's going to form me by the Holy Spirit where I need to be in just now. So patient in affliction, patient in hardship, patient, patient, patient. That doesn't mean I got to win the lottery. I got to have it right now. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen when I want it to happen. It means that I trust the Lord and his sovereignty, patient in affliction. As I get to be older by God's grace, and I think of some of the things that I hear that wisdom has been passed, one of the things I remember growing up would be don't neglect the valley because you're excited about the mountaintop. The nourishment is in the valley, church. See, so many times we love the victory of the mountaintop. Bah, 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 bah. Like, we're ready. Yes. But we miss out on the valley. See, so many times, some of us this year, how we win is get out of the valley of victimhood, saying we're never going to accomplish it. Woe is me. I'm never going to get this. The valley of victimhood, and instead walk in victory in the valley. The same victory we'll have in the valley is the same one we're going to have on the mountaintop through Christ Jesus. That's the John 10:10 full life. So this is what we're patient in affliction. Even in the valley, we can be joyful. Even in the valley, it is not everyone against me. It is not everyone hates me. Instead, it's, hey, Jesus has got me. And we go forward. And when we do that, then we're faithful in prayer. It's not about our works. It's not our last resort. We're faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. We go to prayer first. Why? Because it's our direct line to the Lord. I don't know about you, but as I get older in my prayer life, it's not about my request. It's about just knowing the Lord more. Like, have you ever just leaned in and say, Jesus, what would you have me to do today? I don't like doing that because I come up, and there's nothing wrong with laying everything down to the Lord. So understand, that's what we do. But I like to come up before asking him what I have to do, and I'm just like, all right, Lord, like, you see this. Like, he don't know it. Like, you know, like, he don't know it. I'm going to have faith of a mustard seed, Lord, and I'm going to go down to the gas station and get this lottery ticket. Like, I'm like, those things, right? Like, we do those things, but instead, what if we just say, Lord, if you would have me go to that lottery, that gas station, and talk to that attendant about you, and you happen to give him the right numbers to punch in, like, right? But really, just faithful in prayer, leaning in prayer. I will tell you, as I say as I get older, one of the most honoring things I get to do is pray for you. I know you don't, you may not, it's a simple thing, but it's true. The fact that you allow me to pray for your request, it is a blessing of the Lord. And sometimes people will say that's overwhelming at times, but it is. And maybe you can pray for, you know what a privilege it is? Just a privilege. Hey, we're going to go back to that old school hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? Right? It's a privilege to bring it to him in prayer. So faithful in prayer. So Paul says all the way through, this is where we are. So all the way through, one more time, what your heart treasures, what you treasure in your heart will be what you give your time, your talent, and your tent to. Because here's the thing, when you treasure it, it's where your eyes are. Since we're talking about old school hymns. And his eyes on what? The sparrow. I know he watches me, right? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? Why should it be longing for heaven above when Jesus is my portion, right? My constant friend is he. I just brought y'all back. See, y'all didn't know that was coming out. Y'all thought I was going to be giving some kind of outcast something with that worship stuff I said later. Anyway, Romans 12, verse 13, and we're almost done. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. There's your last H. If you are following along today, honor is where we started, went to hope. Now we're at hospitality. Hospitality, right? Hospitality. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. We belong to each other, church. We mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. We celebrate with those who celebrate. We walk alongside those who are in need. We practice hospitality. What does that look like? Well, we feed someone who's not a friend. We feed someone who's not a friend. That sounds really crazy, I know. But really, we feed someone who's not a friend. As a matter of fact, if you look at the early church, I think most of us can look at this. If you look at the Acts church, the reason that Christianity grew so much in Rome and stood out was two things. Number one, they were devoted to each other. They gave all of their possessions to the church. I'm not telling you to do that today. Don't get excited. You see me roll up with a Learjet next week. Hey, let's go. No, we don't do that. Y'all know I don't go that route. I don't roll that way. But they gave everything to the church, not for their acclaim, not for their acclaim or for their name. They gave as the Lord called them. But the second thing they did is they welcomed the stranger, the infirmed, the sick, and the foreigner in, which was unheard of in that time. As a matter of fact, when you traveled, even though you had Pax Romana, where the peace of Rome, anywhere you traveled on the Roman road, where we get our mile markers from, comes from Rome, by the way, and they would have soldiers stationed there to make sure the Rome and trade could go freely. Think about that when you're going by mile markers. But outside of that, in the highways, the hollers, the hills, and the byways, if you had nowhere to stay, it was a life or death situation. Which points to Christmas even more, y'all. Like, think about this. If there's nowhere to stay, even though Jesus was in the inn, if there was nowhere to stay, the odds are you'd probably be killed. You'd be robbed and killed. Just like the Good Samaritan coming along to that person who was, to that Jew who was on the side of the road, right? But you see, the Christian church did something different. They welcomed folks in. They got excited. They welcomed everyone in. Whoever would come, they would welcome in. And so for us, the reason this matters is today I'm not telling you when it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need that you have to give to that homeless person with a sign on the side of the road. I trust the Holy Spirit tells you whether you should or shouldn't. I'm not telling you got to go welcome them into your home and say, hey, come on in. Like, I'm not telling you that either. Like, you have a family that you're, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit will show you that. The church is known for that. The church is known for welcoming everyone in. The church is known for that. That is why the Acts church grew, is because of that. But here's the thing that matters even more. The church is known about giving people bread that's more than of this earth. It's the bread of life, right? That is what we're known for. So today, what if instead, you know, think about this. If we didn't share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality, we would lose one of the greatest love stories in the Bible with Ruth and Boaz. What if Boaz was like, I know I'm supposed to leave the outside of my field, but this year's been rough, Lord. Have you seen inflation? $5 for eggs? Like, this is crazy. Have you seen that? Like, I'm pouring milk in my gas tank. Like, I don't know. I just hope it runs. Like, I hope it gets fired up. Like, have you seen that? No. He does that, and now Ruth and Boaz, the foreigners, welcomed in. And we have one of the most beautiful love stories in the Bible. This is why most of the time if I give you a gift, I'm going to give you a gift card to go get something to eat. I can't cook for you. There's some things, but I can't cook for you. But maybe by giving that opportunity, I believe the Lord will place someone in your path on purpose, whether it's a single mom sitting at the table three over and you decide to buy their meal, or it's the waiter or waitress that is sitting there trying to serve you, or it is the hostess at the front. The Lord is going to give you an opportunity to be out in the world to point to Him. But once again, what do we have that they're searching for? They're searching for bread for a day. We get to give them the bread of life. What you treasure, you will freely give of your time, your talent, and your tent. So why are we even sharing this today in the end? Well, church, here in America, would you say that our influence is waning as the church in America? Look, I didn't say the local church around the world. I didn't say the church is waning. I didn't say the influence of the church around the world is waning. The church is growing around the world. Remember, Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? Like, the church ain't going to fail, but we lose our influence. Why? Because we sound like politicians, don't we? We stand up here with platitudes and promises that have no action. I'm guilty of it too. All of us are. We're all guilty of it. But that's why when we come together and say, hey, this is what we get to sow into global missions, this little bitty bit, whatever that is, we get to be a part of. That's why this is so important, is because the world is looking for us. When we tear each other down in the church, the world says, look at them. They ain't no better than us. And you're right, I'm not. We know that in Lord Jesus. When I sit there and we talk about all the way through that, hey, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. They're looking at that. They're like, who got married? A veil is torn from top to bottom? What are you talking about? All the way through, like, we are losing our influence. And the reason we are so many times is we've forgotten who literally is growing our influence. That is Jesus. We've forgotten to trust Him at times. We try to do it in our own strength and in our own will. So maybe this year how we win within is understanding that the bread of life that we have is more important than anything else we do, that the hope of the gospel has to get to the ends of the earth because there are people right now searching for Jesus. And He's going to allow us to be a part of pointing them to Him. See, what if, okay, your little bit, He had to do what before He blessed it? Broke it. We don't like being broke. What is today's the 15th? Everybody got paid at the beginning of the month, probably broke, right? Like, nobody likes being broke. We don't like being broke. It's a bad thing. But what if that brokenness is what leads to blessing for somebody else? See, that's the difference of us in Jesus versus those in the world. And that's what we get to share. And so today, as we get to end, I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit has spoke to you today on how we can get to live a life of honor and of hope and of hospitality. Most importantly, may we be reminded that none of this is about our commitment to Jesus. It's about his commitment to us in spite of us. That's the difference. That's the difference. All the way through, it's been about him. All the way through, it's about his mercy, how he received the penalty for us. And by his grace, even in our sinful state, he made a way for us to have life, to have hope. He made a way. And so that's why we do what we do. Paul writes it this way in Romans 5, verse 6 through 8, to remind us, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, or while we were still dead in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person because they got it all together, right? Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So today, maybe this is a reminder of Christ dying for you. And today we can celebrate. We can be joyful. We can be patient in affliction. We can be faithful in prayer, and that's how we can win. For others of us right now, maybe the Holy Spirit's moving. It's the first time you've ever considered Jesus Christ. And today is the day where you confess and repent of your sins. You surrender lordship of your life to Christ. Now, I just said these big, big words, and you're like, I don't even know who Jesus is besides grandma's picture on a wall or a little sweet baby in a manger. And I just want to tell you, we started with it, and we want to get there. Each and every one of us are dead in our sins. We're dead in our sin. We have no hope. We have no way to get through. There's not a searching within yourself to find the answer and enough affirmations that can get you out of your sin. And because of that chasm of sin, God wants to be in a relationship with us, but sin can't be in his presence. So because of that chasm and that separation, God said, I don't want you to be separated. I want you to be who you were created to be, who I created you to be, not me, God. So he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. By his grace and mercy, Jesus came. He paid the ultimate price for us, the death for us on the cross for our sins. But the beautiful thing is, he also made us right with God by living the perfect sinless life we can't live. They didn't just stay dead. He didn't say, hey, it's all done. Like, he did say it is finished, but there's something that we can be a part of. He says, hey, you don't have to stay a victim anymore because of your sin. I want you to walk in victory. So he rose again on the third day so that we can live out that victory now on this side of eternity. The only thing is, see, we can't earn it. There's nothing we can do except this. Confess and repent of our sin and receive his mercy. Receive his payment. Receive that. And that's what this is. That's what we're going to be praying in this prayer. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray this for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Would you please repeat the words of this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. But love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And wherever you're watching around the world or wherever you are right now or listening throughout the week, I'm going to ask you on the count of three if you have for the first time received Christ as your Lord and Savior to raise your hand. One, two, three. You can raise a hand in the comments. If you're listening throughout the week, you can reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv or shoot us a message in our app or on social media or shoot us a text message even at 864-580-6698. Wherever you're watching, we want to celebrate this decision with you, but more importantly, we want to get you linked up with a local church near you so that you can be a part of growing in the body and continuing to win as you go into 2023. And for the rest of us, I hope today has been encouraging. I hope today has been a challenging as it has been for me. But most importantly, I hope today we've encountered Jesus in a new way. Maybe today you haven't. Maybe today you're thinking of everything else you have to do. And I just pray and I hope that as we stand up and worship in this moment, we just lay it all down to him. So would you stand and sing? Thank you.
peace when I've lost my way. All I need is you. In this mess I've made, I can't bear the weight. All I need is you. You are rich in mercy, slow to anger. Your love endures forever. Who is like you, Lord, in all the world? Your love endures forever, forever. When my eyes have seen and my heart believes, all I need is you. In this victory, still my lips will sing. All I need is you. You are rich in mercy, slow to anger. Your love endures forever. Who is like you, Lord, in all the world? Your love endures forever. Our shield, defender, your mighty.
Yeah, we are so thankful that you spent time with us. An honor and privilege to spend this time with you. We hope to see your smiling face next week. You know why? Because we're going to pray for breakfast, be zero calories. We're gonna grow Vine Kids by one, by God's grace, next week, no matter what. So all that to be said, we want to see your smiling face, and let's continue to learn how to win within as we go out into the streets, the highways, the hollers, the hills, and the byways. Let's show that Jesus is our defender and our hope. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.